This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
940, you just want to talk racing?
Is there really...
You got me going now, boy.
Is there really a push-to-pass button in IndyCar?
What?
That you hit a button and it gives you a boost?
Yeah, it's... Yeah. I mean, there's certain ways they do
look, look how you...
It's engaged.
Is that like asking somebody who knows a lot about football, like, so wait a second.
They're allowed to tackle? It's hard to explain.
Okay. We'll do that on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to do it at 940. You want to do it at 940? You want to chase off our listeners?
Yes.
By talking NASCAR? Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Ladies and gentlemen, Jarvis Landry could be a Baltimore Raven by the end of this sentence. To talk about it, Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, at Ken Wyman Sport, joins us on the show. Ken, good morning, friend.
How are you, sir?
We're doing okay. Jarvis Landry, you guys want him?
I think they're interested, but the Ravens, the last couple of years, they're good at finishing second for people they like. T.Y. Hilton last year, Juju Smith-Schuster last year, Bobby Wagner this year, Za'Darius Smith this year. They're interested. I just don't know that they'll pay what he eventually gets elsewhere, but I think he could help. But I'm not going to hold my breath that they're going to sign him.
Well, then why are they in the conversation then? Is Jarvis Landry using the Ravens to maybe get the Browns to take a second look at him or something?
He might be. I think the Ravens have legitimate interest. They have this really cool habit of finishing second for people they're interested in. So I think he'd help. Like, I honestly think they're going back to what they were doing in 2019. They drafted these two tight ends that can catch the ball. And when they were really good offensively in 2019, Hayden Hurst was the move tight end. I think they're going back to that. I think Bateman's going to be really good this year. Hollywood Brown was good. I don't know that necessarily, they've been drafting receivers the last 3 years. Let's see what Devin DuVernay and James Crochet can do. But if to have a veteran there, sure.
Do you, in your estimation, do you like Jarvis Landry as a wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens?
If he's healthy, yeah. I think he's a guy that would help that room as well. You guys know him better than I do, but he seems like a really good teammate as well. I think he'd help. But the health has been a concern the last couple of years.
Ken Wyman joining us on the hotline. When it comes to Lamar Jackson, how active is he in terms of either getting his opinions out? Like when Baker was here, there was no shortage of knowing what Baker was talking about, what he felt. I mean, he obviously wore it on his sleeve at all times. Is that not the case with Lamar Jackson?
It's about 180 degrees away. Like, Lamar doesn't talk much. Lamar, he'll tweet every once in a while, and when he does talk, he doesn't say a whole lot. He's not the kind of guy that's really gonna like. And I felt like Baker was a bit over the top with it, and Lamar's on the other end where you'd like to get more from Lamar, and he really won't give it to you. So no, we really don't know. Like, I think he'd love to have, if we're talking about like telling the Ravens, he'd love to have Jarvis Landry possibly, but I don't think they're not really doing a whole lot of communicating. Otherwise, I think we'd hear more about a contract, but that's a whole other conversation.
So isn't it kind of fascinating that he took to social media over the weekend and people over the draft weekend, and so many ended up, you know, running with some of those comments or the question marks?
The WTF, which I felt was a passive-aggressive move by Lamar because, to me, he was reacting to Hollywood Brown getting traded. Mm-hmm. And he obviously knew Hollywood Brown was getting traded. But he acted like he – and Lamar's one of these guys we hear. He woke up from a nap and realized that Hollywood got traded. He's like, what's going on here? But, like, Hollywood had told him at the end of the year he wanted to be traded. And the team called him and told him they were trading. Now, I envision this scenario where they tried to call him and he didn't answer. And they texted him and said, we need to talk. And he said, I'm busy. And they said, it's not about a contract. And so he said, okay, call me. And then they finally explained to him that they were trading Hollywood Brown. But, I thought that was a bit of a passive-aggressive move by Lamar because he absolutely knew that he was getting traded.
Ken Wyman joining us on the show, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Find him on Twitter at Ken Wyman Sport. You're a radio show host, Ken, so you know that people give us maybe a little bit too much power or us a little bit too much credit. Like, we're here to have a discussion and talk. Has it been bandied about with your listeners and your fan base at all, the possibility of life without Lamar yet?
Yes. And there is, we've been having this discussion that if they're not going to give him a long-term deal, that the possibility exists that maybe he gets traded before the start of next season. Now, the other thing is, and I was talking to someone about this over the weekend, this contract situation potentially could be a black cloud over this entire season. Like, if he gets off to a great start, the conversation is, well, how much more is it going to cost him to sign him? Or if he gets off to a poor start, it's like this, the whole conversation is going to be about this contract. And I think the Ravens have put themselves in the jackpot a little bit by letting this thing linger.
So I guess, Ken, the next question is, when it comes to just organizationally, you're thinking about needing a contract for a guy who ends up, you know, with all the injuries to the team last year. He did not have a great year. I'm almost a little surprised that somebody like Lamar would still be so difficult with this contract. You'd almost think that he would understand that if he has another year like this, you know, what happens to his value? I get betting on yourself, but he's already done enough to make a ton of money. I'm almost surprised that this is as complicated as it seems to be.
Well, I think the fact that he doesn't have an agent makes it slightly more complicated. Like if he had an agent, he ain't showing up without a new contract. Mm-hmm. He'd be holding out right now. And you saw what's going on with Kyler Murray in Arizona and that whole manifesto they put out about a new contract. Like, Lamar might not have shown up last year without a new contract. So he's playing, and granted, he's going to make $23 million this year, which is more money he's ever seen. But if he had a long-term deal, he might be making $40-some million this year. So the price to play goes up. And remember, he didn't have a great year last year, but the first 7 weeks he was really good. And then I think he started to get banged up and the injuries started to mount around him. I don't know where this is going to end, but my gut says he eventually gets traded because I don't think they're going to give – the price has gone up. They wouldn't go to 40 last year. And now, you know, 35, which is what Jason, my co-host, Jason Lockenpore, reported, that's Kirk Cousins' money. So they're going to have to go up from there, and I don't know if they want to go up from there.
Do they really not want him long-term? Because I'm sitting there going, like, I know Kirk Cousins has good numbers, but I'm going, Lamar Jackson, I mean, I would go and pick up Lamar Jackson and let him live in my home for as long as he ever wanted to and feed him personally before I ever did anything for Kirk freaking Cousins here. I mean, that
exactly.
Does seem, like, even if I didn't have an agent involved in this, Ken, I would consider that a slight if I were Lamar or a fictitious agent or his family or whoever's representing him.
It is a weird situation, isn't it? And the other thing is, and Steve Bisciotti, who never talks anymore, the owner of the Ravens, talked at the owners' meeting, and he made a point about how life isn't good without having a quarterback. And, you know, there are fans here that say trade Lamar Jackson. You get 3-1s or whatever. But enjoy life as the Carolina Panthers if you don't have a franchise quarterback. Like, you better have a plan B, and you better be able to get one of the guys that is coming out next year or whatever, and he better be good, because if you don't have a quarterback, it's tough to win in this league. And Lamar Jackson, yeah, he hasn't had a ton of success in the playoffs, but Peyton Manning didn't have a ton of success in the playoffs early on in his career. And I just think there's been a lot of winning going on when Lamar's healthy. And if you want to see life without it, I just say good luck.
Ken, we can't thank you enough for the time. We really appreciate it with you, buddy. Take care, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
No worries. Take care, guys.
You too. Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, which people are going to go, Justin Tucker. I was like, oh, we already talked with Ken about. I was on his show talking about Justin Tucker. And then I was on with Bob Haney talking about Justin Tucker. Good stuff. Which the Justin Tucker thing isn't even real, for crying out loud. With Lamar, like, you got to be thinking right now, it's good for the Browns. This is good for the Browns going in. Lamar is a big issue. It's almost the same, like, when guys come, like I said this about Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky had to come out early. Because I think there's a time where, for quarterbacks, you have to come out, because I think that next year, we just start looking for what's wrong with you. And I think this year, like, if the Ravens don't do what they were supposed to do last year, if they don't do it this year, people are just looking for what's wrong with them. And you could say that's crazy. He's a former MVP, and people go, yeah, he's a former MVP. How much more of a return are we getting? Like, it seems like the Ravens don't believe he's long for the NFL in some way, somehow.
It's just a weird way to treat someone who's won the MVP.
Like, I think he's absolutely worth more than $35 million a year. I mean, he might not be 50 or whatever it is with some of the other ones, but 30, 40, he should be $40 million.
Yeah, I wonder if part of it is they look at just the fact that it's so tough for him to get through the season, and then he hasn't played well, all that well in the postseason. So it's tough, because who are they going to get that's better than him and more dynamic than him? But how long is that going to last? How long do you think he is going to be this big of a, just a total freak of an athlete that can do things that no one else can do? Even though it does seem like defenses, they haven't solved him, because he still has amazing games. But they certainly have been able to make life much tougher on him in the passing game.
Especially with his style of play. His style of play. I mean, how could you invest in a Lamar Jackson long term?
Like, if we were talking about this, just go with me on this. Like, Josh Allen. Josh Allen signed his deal between 2020 and 2021, right? Going into the 2021 season, like in the summer. Okay. Game one against Indianapolis, 2021 playoffs. Or excuse me, 2021 going into 20. Yeah, no, because the calendar's messed up. So 2020 going into 2021. Indianapolis, he was great. The next game, 23 of 37, 62%, 206 yards. Like, that's not outrageous. The loss against Kansas City, 287, two touchdowns. He had an 80% rating, had a pick. Like, he was amazing. Just this last playoffs against New England and against Kansas City. But if we're talking about playoff performance, like, some guys do, they kind of go out there and struggle. His first game in 2019, 24-46, 52% completion, 264, no touchdowns, no picks, had a 69% rating. Like, it kind of comes, and sometimes it sticks with certain guys. Lamar didn't get a chance this year. He got injured. Most of his team got injured. Like, I'll take the Ravens being in flux, but if you're the Ravens, what more do you want? This is the game. This is what you do. The game's already set. You've done everything. You've changed around an entire scheme and system for Lamar Jackson. Now you don't want to pay the guy? Okay. You guys want to go out there and be silly, go right on ahead.
But I think he's being equally as silly, because if he goes out there, gets injured again this year, what are the Ravens even
going
to offer?
That's true, but I'd be sitting there going, there would be part of me going, all right, I'll sign the $35 million, whatever it is. And then I'll come back and hold out for even more after this year if I were to do any better, just to make sure that I can get my $35 million. Because if you're telling me you're going to give me Kirk Cousins money, I'd want to scoff at you if I were Lamar Jackson. I mean, I have to look at it in his sense, too. That's a slight. Lamar's an MVP. Lamar's changed that way. People wanted John Harbaugh fired before they started him. You remember that. If you're Lamar Jackson, I don't think you should forget that, and I'd be upset. But I will take their problems. I just think they're being weird. Also, Doug Whaley is up for a second interview with the Steelers. What's with all these teams in our division making weird decisions all of a sudden?
Not a Whaley fan?
No, and I don't think very many Steelers. In seriousness, I don't think any Steelers fan should either. Coming up next, how big is the signing of Jadeveon Clowney? How massive does it have to be? And I did watch the fastest, most impressive 2 minutes in sports. Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan. You want to make things awkward, 940? Let's make things awkward, 940. Also, I put up the poll. 69%, this is a runaway, 69% say RBIs instead of RBI. Just be how you said it during Lima Likes.
Yeah, I was talking about Owen Miller.
Yes.
And I said RBI instead of RBIs.
I like saying RBIs. I feel comfortable saying RBIs.
Like, say it in a sentence right now.
Owen Miller hit Owen Miller had two doubles and four RBIs.
Would have been funny if you would have said one RBI.
If he had an RBI, he had a run batted in. But for whatever reason, runs batted in, even though there's no S there in the middle, it's still RBIs. Do you think less of me if I say RBIs?
No, in
fact.
There's
plenty of other things I could say you could think less
just,
of me.
Just
for.
Because I think it out and I've thought it out for so long that now I can't possibly say, you know, he had eight RBIs. It bothers me to such a point just in saying it out loud. So I guess forever I'm just going to say it the way that you don't want me to say it.
Like Jamie Foxx, the actor. Jamie Foxx had 110 RBIs. Got to stop drinking on Sundays. Jamie Foxx probably had a good Little League career, come to think of it.
I'm sure he did.
That was Willie Beeman.
He was probably singing and making jokes in between bats.
He had some RBIs. He did well.
He was a good Ray Charles impression. Yeah. Short.
Yes, exactly. Stephen Willie Beeman also played baseball. You know that. I mean, come on. He had RBIs. I was right. I say RBIs.
What's it say at the top of the column? When you're looking at the box score.
Oh, I bet it says RBI.
It just says RBI. That's what I say usually.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Say ribbies.
A lot of people said I say ribbies.
I'll pass on that too.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that a bunch. You'll use that on another reference.
Okay. I'm just wondering. Does Jarvis Landry possibly going to the Baltimore Ravens change your opinion of Jarvis Landry? In a more positive light. 216-578-0092. Like before, if Jarvis Landry were like, hey, they could get Jarvis Landry back, and you were like, oh, great. If we can get Jarvis Landry back, great. But because a team that is interested in him is a rival, does it change your interest in him?
No, I don't think so at all. I think we kind of know what Jarvis is. The only thing I kind of feel bad for Jarvis is he was so banged up last year and the passing offense was so bad that it would have been really easy to come to the conclusion that he's washed up or just not that productive or can't be that productive. But I do remind you, I saw him in week 17, all of a sudden he's making guys miss and put a few guys on skates and then had his best game of the year.
Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, or week 18, I should say.
Yes.
It was against some backups and it was Cincinnati, but I don't know, he's not playing with Baker. All of a sudden he had a different quarterback hitting him in stride. So we do. We know what Jarvis is. No matter where he signs or if he comes back, I'm not going to think all that different of him in terms of what he's got left. What I do know is he by all accounts, he's great locker room guy. Are we sure, you know, putting the keys in the hands after Amari Cooper of a sixth rounder, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, who didn't look remotely ready last year?
No.
Or David Bell, a rookie this year, was
I would have had Jarvis Landry back before. I'll have Jarvis Landry back now. Steelers, Ravens, doesn't matter. I'd like to have Jarvis Landry back. Now, I know David Bell on the field is supposed to be a replacement for Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry, I think, as a locker room guy and a good guy overall, I would like to have Jarvis Landry back. Is there that much of a difference in money? I don't know. I have no idea. The only thing I can do is speculate. I don't believe that he wanted $20 million a year, which was thrown out there on social media. I can't believe that's real. There's no way. That has to be a you-know-what Sac Sports report. That can't be a real thing. $20 million a year when, hell, he was making what before? You can't want that.
Would that be something the Browns would put out there so fans would know, all right, well, then you're goodbye to Jarvis Landry and make it more palatable
for
losing him?
Why would you even put that out there? Did somebody say something in jest and they took it the wrong way? Like, did Jarvis Landry's agent say 20? Like, were they having an argument about one of the teammates or something? Well, the only way you're keeping him is if he wants 20. So they put it out there that he wanted 20? Like, $20 million a year for Jarvis Landry? Like, every player has to have respect for themselves and confidence in themselves, but there's no way you really believe that you're making $20 million.
Keenan Allen's at 20. Mari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks just a shade under 20. Kirk just got that big deal.
I mean, these are really good wide receivers here. Really good wide receivers here. And he's a good wide receiver, but at $20 million, I can't believe he'd want that.
Yeah, I mean, Jarvis.
I just think it's so crazy that he would say it that I just don't want to assign that to him.
Yeah, Jarvis in this offense, you know, he came in 1,000 yards immediately, 80-plus catches. Then he had 80-plus catches again. and had almost 1,200 yards. And the last 2 years, those numbers have dropped, but the targets have dropped big time. And obviously, he was really banged up last year, only ended up playing in 12 games. And really in those 12, you know, he was kind of banged up in a few of those too. So it's understandable that his numbers dropped. However, you're also remembering, you know, looking at his age, that you don't expect him to get better.
30, right?
Yeah, you don't really expect him to get better.
But can I get him for 1 year? Can I actually bring him back for 1 year? I know that Jarvis Landry might be able to some people, and I would understand you guys if you said this, he might get in the way of whatever progress that you want out of David Bell. And I like David Bell. I love that draft pick. It's my favorite draft pick of this draft. I'm a big David Bell fan. But I would like a veteran there that I know can go out and catch and fight in traffic and do those things. David Bell, I'm really excited about, but I don't know for a fact he can do those things. Mm-hmm. I know that Jarvis can do those things. And I will full-on admit, and this is an emotional thing, I'm sorry, that because it's one of the three teams in our division that's sincerely interested in him, it gives me pause. If he were going to one of the other teams in the league, maybe I go, okay, you know, it's been a good time with you here in Cleveland. 4 years is a long time. That's great. Glad you came. Glad we had you.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's Baltimore, I'm like, well,
no, I used to think
should
that
one... I? Should we maybe take another look
no,
here?
No, I think that's old Browns fans approach when we were bad. Since we're not bad anymore, I don't lose sleep over wondering if other teams in the division got over us or, you know, outsmarted us. You know, those were things I'd say about our old front offices. I'm not saying that about this front office. And obviously, they know firsthand what Jarvis has or what he has left. So I don't feel that way at all.
Anytime you let a player go, you need to be confident. Like, I know there's a difference between them and us. Anytime you let a player go, there needs to be an understanding like he could pick a team that's a rival and you'd have to play him twice a year, something like that. I understand that wholeheartedly. But if I'm a fan, we're like, yeah, we know some things. But if I'm just a fan, yes, my emotional prowess of this has told me before, like, this always tends to be a problem for us. And no matter how good the Browns are on paper, because that's where they're good at right now is on paper, that's always going to bother me. Joe Hayden had a new lease on his career.
Yeah.
When he went to Pittsburgh. Joe Schobert ended up causing problems for us last year. When Joe Schobert went to Jacksonville, it's like, hey, good for Joe Schobert. He got paid. And everybody made the Slowbert jokes and all the other stuff. Then he ended up in Pittsburgh, and you just knew it some way, somehow. It's like, this guy's going to cause a problem for us. And he did. Created a fumble.
Against Jarvis Landry.
Against Jarvis Landry, of all people. It's just when guys end up going to these other places.
Well, Joe Hayden hurt because he went to the Pro Bowl after he went to Pittsburgh, after we cut him. When you're the Browns and you're terrible and you're cutting guys and they make Pro Bowls elsewhere.
I think I'll go a step further. I don't even think he was able to really play in the postseason because of the injuries. Larry Ogunjobi in Cincinnati. Like, it wasn't lost on me. Like, things are just getting good here. And then this last season was a mess in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. A disaster in a lot of ways to some folks. And Larry Ogunjobi's down in Cincinnati. Larry Ogunjobi, who I don't even think is with Cincinnati anymore. I got to check that out. Larry Ogunjobi gets to go to the Super Bowl as a member of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, like, Odell, things, obviously the Odell thing.
I understand. And Odell goes to the Super Bowl and wins with somewhere else. Now, I know that the Rams aren't a rival the way that the other teams are, but it does. It does give me a little bit of pause going, oh, the Ravens are interested in him. Maybe we should take another look.
Mm.
It does. And I know that he's been a good leader. And regardless, where's my leadership coming from? Is Amari Cooper going to be a leader in that locker room as a wide receiver? Now, I know I'm not asking as an overall team for there to be leadership coming from the wide receiver room. That's really barking up the wrong tree. There's been guys that way, but it's actually rare. You had that from Jarvis, but in that room, do I have to get it from Amari? Boy, am I going to get it from Amari?
Amari
can I guarantee
is really,
that?
Have we talked to anybody from
Probably
Dallas
not.
About Amari? Because one of the raps, if you... spend any time, now granted, they try to justify, anytime you lose a player, you justify why you lost a player. But one of the arguments against Amari Cooper was that he was not fully engaged all the time in every game. And boy, I mean, that's something you can't afford right now.
Not in our wide receiver room. If you have Jacoby Brissett playing for 2 games or 10 games, you can't have that happening for him. And then with Deshaun Watson, I can't afford that.
Now, I want to be careful.
If Deshaun Watson comes in down the stretch for the season, I'm trying to make the playoffs after maybe a slow start if Jacoby Brissett's playing. Mm-hmm. No offense to Jacoby, but we know there's a huge difference. I need you all in. I know you're trying to be fair, but I need you locked in and focused.
Well, and just Amari Cooper in general, you know, some of the advanced numbers on him, and these are not numbers that I just see people post them. It's not like It's not like I can even provide any real context to a lot of those advanced numbers. But they aren't really great. I mean, yards after the catch, not good. He was actually one of the worst over the last few years in yards after the catch. He was a guy that when we were talking about at the top of his game, you know, he was considered a potential elite guy who was going to be on top. But it's been years. It's been a few years since we thought that about Amari Cooper. So you're asking him to be the number one in this offense, in this room. You are expecting a lot.
And he doesn't have the type of wide receiver room he had in Dallas, which can be a plus and a negative. We know that. Because those guys can open him up mm-hmm. or they can shut him down, depending on what type of mood Dak Prescott's in that day. But I also know that I'm going to need guys to be focused in that room from the beginning, and I don't know who I can count on. Amari Cooper, I think, would obviously be the guy there. But other than that, DPJ, Anthony Schwartz, no. Can't, sorry, not
and
yet.
Maybe, hey, maybe you give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they really are high on having Schwartz, whose year was disrupted last year and certainly was somebody who had a bigger learning curve than I think people were hoping. They just thought his speed would translate instantly, and you realize, no, you actually have to be a real wide receiver. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, a sixth-rounder, who already, just what he was able to do last year as a sixth-rounder, you know, was pretty impressive. But you're asking him to potentially be a number two?
Mm.
That is a lot.
That is. So with Jarvis, maybe I'd just like to take another look. It's my emotions as a fan. I know that they made the decision knowing he could go somewhere else. $20 million a year's thing sounds asinine. If he felt that way, I guess you have an insane amount of confidence in yourself. I can't imagine that would be the way. 216-578-0092. The fall of our society as a fan in general coming up next, as well as a very awkward moment yesterday. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan. What will the over-under numbers look like for next football season, and what other numbers from Vegas do you need to know? Keep track of the trends with the BetQL Network even while the games are underway. The BetQL Network is a click away at BetQL.com or listen wherever you go by using the Odyssey mobile app. I was going to talk about Chris Paul and his family getting into it with The Fan. Of course, we could probably open that up even more tomorrow, right? I still don't think the world is
coming. Or we'll have another incident.
I don't think the world is coming apart the way that people think. I've told you this before, but
so you think this is all coincidence now? Or?
No, I don't think it's coincidence. I still say we are more. Now, this is a playoff game. But we are more connected than we've ever been. So people go to social media. Everything is a great big pile of burning bleep on social media. Everything in the world is worse than what it is, with the exception of some things. I mean, there are atrocities that people talk about on social media, for crying out loud. But for the most part, things are always worse on social media than what they are in life. And people just doom scroll all day and then try to say the worst possible thing to outdo somebody else so they can get their likes and retweets and God knows what. It's sad, but it's true. So I think that I bet there was plenty of things that were even worse in the 50s, 60s, and 70s than there are now. The 80s and 90s and early 2000s, Malice in the Palace, than there are now.
Chris Paul was screaming at what looked to be fan yesterday.
Yes, he should have.
You're saying this is happening every game?
I don't think this is
or
happening.
Or is it different that the players are now reacting to it?
I think there's a little bit of that. I think there was a time where players' families did not go to the games the way they go now.
They didn't?
I don't think they went the way they did. I think there were special sections. There were times in baseball where there was players' wives and things like that, and players' wives in football. Mm. Now you just see them sitting in good seats and generalities.
Well, they
with
were
fans.
Kept like up
and,
in the...
And they were kept away.
Yeah,
now,
I got to tell you,
if
I'm Chris Paul and I can't get... It is a playoff game. It's tougher to get the suites. So unless you're willing to just pay off, you know, Dallas fans in this case and get a suite for your family, I don't know if I'm the family if I want to go to these games. I remember we had the London Fletcher situation here a few years ago. When he was here and his family got into it.
He's from here, though.
Yeah, and he's from here.
I mean, but they
I don't think those fans there that were starting with him even knew. I'm just saying, this continues to happen more and more. If I'm Chris Paul's family, they do not have the right to be screwed with like this in this capacity.
But at the same time,
I don't know if I'm his family that I want to go to road games and sit right in the thick of this cauldron.
I'm not trying to say that Chris Paul's family is the reason I'm everything is Pollyanna, for crying out loud here. I think it's a bad thing, and he has every right to be upset, because I think clearly you have a teenage person who worked himself into a shoot and thinks that he has some license to put his hands on somebody else's family, whether or not it's Chris Paul or it's just another fan there. You don't have license to do any of that. That you do not have the right to put hands on another fan or another fan whose family is a family member of a professional basketball player or the player himself. It's just not right in society. I just think that this happens as frequently as it ever did. You have more expensive seats than we've ever had. You know that the professional sports entities are trying to price certain fans out of their arenas, out of their events, to try to curb this. And we have cell phones now. We have more cameras than we've ever had in our entire lives. If this would have happened, this is a Western Conference game. If this would happen on like tape delay or something like that on CBS in the 1980s, they probably cut this out. They probably cut it out. This whole thing. You don't know. There's probably something written in the newspaper, but we don't see it. We don't actively talk about it, but I bet it happened. We're just more connected than we've ever been. None of that is any sort of an excuse for putting hands on somebody else. Let me make that abundantly clear. We can get into this tomorrow, because clearly you think there's a big, big problem. I bet a lot of people are going to agree with you.
Maybe I
bet so.
Well, look, you're right about the fact that more of it's being televised. But, I mean, if that's always been going on, so the only thing that has changed is the reaction by the players. So this is getting to the players. And I know fans are going to say the players are making more money than ever before. Why can't they ignore it? They are human. They are human, and they have a breaking point. I saw Dwight Howard do this to my buddy a few years ago. My buddy said nasty things to Dwight Howard, didn't swear, didn't do any of that, but he basically said, what team are you going to ruin next? And Dwight Howard looked right to the security. Then Dwight Howard came over. Then they restrained him. He didn't even swear at him. He didn't say anything mean. He was being a smartass, without a doubt. It was meant to be a cutting remark. And then he said, he looked at the security, and the security came right over to try to eject my buddy. Is that considered the right way to handle it too?
I was afraid the strength of security in the NBA has scared the bejesus out of me. I love telling the Vince Carter story to the point where people are tired of hearing it. I didn't say a word for the rest of that night. I did not cuss at anybody. You're right. All I said was Trey Young hasn't earned it yet. Throw him out. I was encouraging the ref to throw Trey Young after he teed up Trey Young. I encouraged him to throw him out because Trey Young was the one saying cuss words
to the ref.
And we were right there. And Vince Carter told me to sit down and shut up. And I sat down and shut up, and he stared at me. And that security guard was like, am I going to get thrown out of here? And he's like, you might. I didn't say a word for the rest of the time. I talked to you, but I didn't say anything about it.
And Trey Young kept that bottled inside until he had a chance to help try to eliminate the Cleveland Cavs all those years later.
We found out why he played so well.
Yep. So he played well in the second half because I was the one saying he should be thrown out.
He was shimmying. He was doing the Ken Carman shimmy.
I don't shimmy.
Now you do.
When's the last time I shimmied?
I remember those days.
There's no shimmy. All right, we'll do this tomorrow. This is good stuff. do you think what I sent yesterday was awkward?
I tried to scare you.
It didn't work. So I was feeling festive. Lima had texted, and I texted Sarah Ono, if you will. Well, if she would have had this reaction, she would definitely be Sarah Ono. And I said, "Happy First Mother's Day, Mama." That's what I said, all caps. An exclamation point. I thought I was nice. She's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fine.
Earlier in the day, beat me in a 5K.
Which is not a big deal. Someone said I should never let you live that down, and I'm saying, guys, I can barely walk, let alone.
Not only did she beat you, your unborn daughter also beat you.
Wow, that's true. You got beat by two.
I finished third in the family. Thank God her mom didn't decide to run.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing Milo didn't decide to run.
She would have carried Milo and still easily crossed the line.
We got to do that cat thing tomorrow. Holy cow. Was it awkward? Let me ask the other two. Was it awkward that I sent Sarah a text?
Tell everybody what I sent to you right after.
Hold on. Let me find
it. Can you explain the text one more time?
I said happy birthday or happy Mother's Day, Mama! Exclamation point. To which Lima
and we were
responded.
At,
how often do you text her normally?
We were at dinner when this happened, by the way, or lunch, I should say.
I was nervous. He goes, "Don't ever text her again." Then just kidding. That was real nice. And I wrote, I about bleep when you texted that. Because he said, you know, he's told a couple of stories, and I don't know how she'll react about certain things. So I thought I was being nice. That's right. You did scare. Well, I was drinking yesterday. You did scare me. That's right. You did. And then he wrote, ha, 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 ha. I just read that to her parents. Just read that.
I was trying to make you sweat for a little bit.
I was a little nervous. I don't know how she's going to react to those things.
It is so.
Trying to be nice.
It is so bizarre to think about the fact that, you know, she's sitting there. She's over halfway through now, and you know, a year from now, it's going to be very different. It's going to be very different come August.
Yep.
So your text did not move us to tears, but it was very nice. It was a nice thing to.
I wasn't trying to.
You're
move
really
anybody
good at that.
To tears.
No, you know what though? You're really good at that. About being nice. And doing. Doing, I'll make fun of you after the fact, but that's like a genuine, heartfelt moment. And I thought to myself, what a jerk I've been all these years. I've never sent that to any of my friends who are expecting, who have had their, I have been in such a selfish hole for so long that I never thought, you know what, boy, that would be nice to get a text like that.
But I think differently with you than I have with some of my others, because you're a little later to the party than everybody else.
A little.
So
yeah.
It's... I know you have more experience in life than I do, but I have more experience, obviously, in this life than you do. So it's almost like, again, 3 years ago, you said you weren't going to be single Lima after a year. You had 1 year till St. Patrick's Day, whatever, of no more single Lima. You put like a thing on it, and it was silly to do so then, and it's silly to think of it now, 4 years ago. And you put a moratorium on it afterwards, and then here you are, and it's like, wow, all this stuff is happening at once. The moving to the... to the nice neighborhood and the village and the child, the doting daughter. He gets the daughter, and he has a wife, a daughter and a wife on the way, and that fantastic cat. And I'm seeing all this happening at once. I'm like, I feel very good for Anthony, and I feel very good for his family.
Let's slow down on the cat thing. That could be determined.
How about a nice puppy? Those aren't very good with newborns, are they?
Actually, it might be better, but who knows?
I have to wait a little bit.
We got to discuss the cat thing.
I thought I'd have to wait a little bit for the puppy.
We are definitely going to discuss the cat thing on the show. Because there is trouble in paradise with Mr. Myler's.
Meow.
It's gotten very catty. It has.
Big thanks to the dangerous one. He was wonderful yesterday, or earlier today.
He was probably good yesterday.
Yeah, he was probably good yesterday, too. Ken Wyman, great. 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. Also, 69.3% say RBIs. For Big Country, for Jeff, for AA, for the slippery wizard, Anthony Lima, which would be my horse name if I owned a horse. I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go Guardies!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.